So my father would set me up on the pew, and I would stand there while he held the hymnal, and he would line the hymns for me, as I tried to do for Jennifer just now, and I'm very out of practice. But he would tell me what the words were coming up so that I could sing, because it was so important to me to sing with the congregation. The songs meant so much to me. They reminded me of, and they come to me later, and I remember things of God well into the week. Sometimes there's a real need to remember God. Sometimes life seems overwhelming, even hopeless. Are there things in your life that seem absolutely hopeless? Are there things that seem so overwhelming? You're just thinking about them, you can feel buried. Sometimes just watching the news or reading the paper can be a little bit like that. Sometimes getting in a discussion about what's going on in our world and all the things that need solutions and really begin to feel like we are just hopeless. I remember driving to church last week and I was listening to the news on the radio, and the Palestinians were bombing the Jews and the Jews were bombing the Palestinians, and we were sending in troops and bringing troops back out of Afghanistan. I've now heard the Taliban is alive and doing well, causing other destruction, that Osama bin Laden may well be alive and well. And that's just one small area of our world. There's also a great disaster happening in Africa, as millions of people, it seems, are contracting AIDS and dying. Children are being left homeless. Children are being left orphaned. The country is in deep despair and wonders if there'll be any hope. Every day I seem to hear of another person who has cancer. All the money we poured into research, and it seems that we are still so far from a cure. Sometimes as we look at the hunger that's in the world, the disease, the war, the famine, the disasters, it can really seem that our situation is hopeless. Especially when you start to think of all the things it would take to fix what's wrong. Even in our own nation, it seems that the political intrigue is overwhelming. And we start saying, why bother to even vote? Will it even make a difference? Are there things that make you feel hopeless? Things that make you feel like this world is on the fast track to destruction? Maybe things that make you feel like your life is on the fast track to destruction. Maybe you feel like you've already arrived. Well, in thinking about despair and hopelessness and things getting in such a mess, it doesn't seem like there's any way to fix them. That is really nothing new. I think sometimes we think in our modern world we've created messes that no other nation and no other time in history has ever known. But let me tell you, they've been creating these kind of messes for eons. Israel had created themselves one great big mess. It shouldn't have been them. I mean, after all, they were the chosen people of God. God had brought them out of Egypt, set them up as a great nation, gave them his law, even when they asked, gave them a king. And yet, he even warned them, when everything goes right, when you're living in houses you didn't build, and you're eating out of vineyards you didn't plant, when your stomachs are full and you're feeling good, remember not to forget me. But they forgot. They forgot again and again and again and again. And soon, you know, it didn't seem like anybody in all of Israel was following God or even knew who he was. They had a king called Manasseh. Most horrible king Israel ever had. I mean, this is the king of Israel, the people of God. And he's sacrificing children to pagan gods. They got themselves in a big mess. A big mess. They've forgotten who God was. They've forgotten how to treat each other with dignity. They had forgotten how to depend on God. They've forgotten even how to seek God. They were making political alliances and thinking that was going to save them. And the political intrigue of the time was amazing. And into all of this mess, something even bigger happens. The Babylonians come in and they destroy Israel. Absolutely decimate them. Carry off their brightest and best to Babylon. Now, they're sitting by the rivers of Babylon. They're slaves, captives, homeless, trying to make a home in a foreign land. They have no longer a king. He's been killed. They have no longer a temple. It's been torn down. And even the land God gave them is no longer theirs. They can't even live in it. It's a big, huge mess. And they are in such utter despair. And they see no hope. Remember the verses of Scripture where it talks about Israel says, you know, let me get it exactly. I'm not paraphrasing. Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. Let me tell you, Babylon is kind of over like this, but you have to go around the Fertile Crescent because you can't go through the desert. They are completely cut off. There's no way home. And even if they got there, what would they do? There's no temple. There's no king. There's no hope. There's a psalm that's written at this time that just really expresses the despair that Israel felt. It goes like this. By the river of Babylon we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. Our captors called out for us, sing a song of Zion. But how can we sing of Zion in foreign land? May the roofs of our mouth, may the tongue, our tongues stick to the roof of our mouth. May our hands wither if we ever forget Zion. The psalm ends by saying, and one day, happy, happy will we be when your enemies crush your children's heads against the rock. You know that people have reached the depth of despair when they no longer, when their hope, when their greatest thought that keeps them going and makes them feel hopeful is no longer something positive happening to themselves. No, they've given up long ago on something positive happening to them. They no longer hope to get out of this situation. They no longer hope to be delivered. No, their greatest, that's not even a possibility. Things are even too hopeless to think of that. So what do they hope for? That at least it'll go bad for their enemy. At least something bad will happen to somebody else. Have you ever been in that much despair? Have you ever felt that hopeless? That you no longer could think a joyful thing could happen to you? That it started to actually give you joy to think of bad things happening to other people? Because man, misery enjoys company. And at least they would be as miserable as me. At least those people that hurt me would be hurt too. Well, they had good reason to feel hopeless. It seemed like an absolutely hopeless situation. Except for one thing. They'd forgotten to figure in the biggest thing there is. They'd forgotten to figure in God. And so God comes in the midst of this absolutely no way out, hopeless situation to the prophet Ezekiel and to a bunch of other prophets. But we're going to talk about what he said to Ezekiel this morning. Pulls Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bones. They're bleached out. They're dry. There's no life in them. It's just a bunch of disconnected, sun-bleached bones. Ever feel like that? A bunch of disconnected, sun-bleached bones. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? When we look at our world, when we look at our own life, do we ever ask, can this situation ever get better? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh God, you know. And it seems, you know, at first glance, maybe a very faithful statement. Lord, you know, you can do anything. But I wonder if it's not more like the slang in our society that says, God only knows. God only knows how we'll get out of this situation. You know, it seems like maybe it even comes from this chapter of Ezekiel. God only knows. God only knows if we'll even see tomorrow. God only knows if I can even get out of bed today. God only knows if our nation can ever untangle itself out of this horrid mess. God only knows if I can face those people at work one more day. But God's answer is absolutely amazing. God says, yes. Yes, these bones can live. Yes, there is a future. Yes, there is hope. No matter how hopeless it is on our terms, it's not hopeless with God. And he says, prophesy to the bones. And Ezekiel prophesies. He prophesies to the bones, and the bones come together, and he hears the rattle. He sees the sinews connect them, the skin form around them. And yet, they are not alone. It's not just enough to have what this world can provide in the way of life, it seems. Something more is needed. And so he says, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. Now, there's a really neat thing in Hebrew. That wind and breath and spirit are all exactly the same word. And I've always pronounced it ruha. It's just a really neat word, ruha. It's wind and breath and spirit. It means all the same thing. The ruha. Says, prophesy to the ruha. Prophesy. And Ezekiel does. And the wind, the breath, the spirit comes into them. And they are alive. A great multitude. Hope is there. And just in case you miss what's going on here, we may think that once something is over, there's no hope. But God wants to make sure that Ezekiel realizes what he has just showed him. Those bones, that's Israel. Their hopelessness, their despair, their situation. I mean, there is no hope outside of God. But with God, an amazing thing can happen. God can put them back where they want to be. He can put it all back together. He can send them back to Israel. He can rebuild their temple, and he can give them a new king. But that's not going to be enough. They're going to need one more thing to get themselves out of this huge mess. Well, actually, get out of it. It's not going to be getting themselves out of it at all. They need the very breath of God, the Spirit of God in their life. And then they will be whole again. And God says he's going to do that. When I look at our world, there's so many times in that we have really felt despair. I think of one of the biggest things that caused despair when I was growing up was the whole Cold War situation. You know, the situation between the Soviet Union and the U.S., it seemed absolutely hopeless. The arms race, the tensions, the devastation that was happening to people's lives and to our world. The atrocity and the oppression that the Eastern Bloc was experiencing under communism. It just seemed like it was going to have to take some horrible bloody battle that might even destroy our whole planet to fix it. And it seems almost impossible now that, you know, there was a time in my life where most people actually believed they would see a total nuclear holocaust in their lifetime. Did you all think like that around here? I mean, with as close as you are to Cuba, you know, I mean, the Cuban Missile Crisis. What a mess. And yet, how amazing is it that the wall of Berlin came down? The Cold War was over. And the Eastern Bloc nations were free to figure out their own thing. And barely a shot was fired. Would you have believed it possible that that mess could have gotten cleaned up like that? Would you believe it possible? Before my time, one of the greatest worries in parents' life was polio. It struck. It took life. It crippled. And it wasn't just any life. It wasn't just anyone it crippled. It went for children. I remember hearing stories about the devastation in families over polio. People thought it'd never go away, I'm sure. It seemed hopeless. And yet, all of a sudden, there was a vaccine. Sometimes we look at our world in 5-minute intervals. I'm real good at this. We're kind of talking about this and say, in 5-minute intervals, you know, God, fix it in the next 5 minutes. Because that's when I need it. God, fix it for me now. And sometimes it's really hard for me that God thinks in terms of eternity. God does amazing things with human history. Does amazing things for us. We live in a nation that has never, you know, that knows incredible prosperity, that knows incredible health, that knows incredible security. Things that other nations only dream of. Maybe we're a little bit like those corpses. Our bones are all together, the sinew's all there, the skin's on it. But yet so many people still live in despair and hopelessness. So many people in the United States struggle with depression. So many of us sometimes wonder even how we're going to get through a day. Maybe we need a little prophesying to the breath, a little prophesying to the wind. Because it's not enough to just have life. To have life that's fulfilling, it's going to take something more. And God knows this. As we are traveling towards the cross, we are going to travel through one of the darkest moments of despair and hopelessness. It's going to be the despair of the cross. It was over. They thought he was Christ. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the answer, and now he's dead. And dead. Every day. We know the answer. But sometimes it's hard for us to remember just how utter that despair was. Even Jesus experienced the despair of the moment as he cries from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Despair is sometimes very bad. We're going to be traveling through that as well. The Easter Sunday. To the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to our hope. It may seem like there's no way out of many of the situations we're in. It may seem like there is no hope. And if we went by the world's terms, if we went by what we could do ourselves, we would probably be right. We'd be absolutely right. But we have something more to hope in. We can hope in eternal life. We can hope in Jesus Christ. And we can even hope in a time in the future when all things will be put right. When we will be reunited with loved ones we've lost. When we will be able to ask God face to face all of those questions we have about why. Or maybe all of a sudden, it'll be so clear. Our questions will seem downright silly. One of the places we need to travel through on our journey to the cross is that place of hopelessness. Why? Because it's only in realizing our utter hopelessness in ourselves, Like Israel realized their utter helplessness in themselves by being dragged off to Babylon, losing their temple, losing their king, losing everything that made them the covenant people before they went, wait a minute. It's not about what we can put our hands on. It's about God. We need to travel through that spot of hopelessness this Lent in order that we might know just how phenomenal the hope is that we have in Christ. Would you stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, My Hope is Built, on page 368.